Furniture and kitchen appliances from the 1950s and 1960s are selling for high prices in antique stores. The official design style of that era is documented in a new book called Red Scared, The Commie Menace in Propaganda and Popular Culture. David Darcy reports.
Flames engulf an American flag on the cover of Red Scared. Inside, pulp novel covers show shapely blondes seducing American agents or being tortured by Russian commissars in fur hats. In pamphlets, women and children are shown standing on line for food. But kids could also play the 25-cent space race card game inspired by the Russian satellite Sputnik. Michael Barson is co-author of Red Scared.
It's a deck of cards, and it has pictures of some Sputniks, and some of them are labeled unfriendly satellites, and it has pictures of other Sputniks labeled friendly. It became a game. So here we are really on the verge of national panic and national disgrace. And a few weeks later, it's turned into pop culture and you can play it with your friends. To me, that sums up the whole Cold War. You know, something real happened, we processed it, and the next thing you know, you're playing it with your buddies.
Kids could also watch two Russian agents match wits with a moose and squirrel.
Moose will never reach Washington, Natasha. I'm going to use strategy on him.
You mean strategy, darling?
No, strategy. I'm gonna strategy rope across the door and fasten the end to trigger of the shotgun. And when Moose comes out the door, what is it?
It's strategy.
You said it.
But the Red Menace didn't start as a joke. Pop culture was full of warnings about the threat to America from bombs and spies in pamphlets, comics, and even television shows for children that featured what co-author Stephen Heller calls a ripped-from-the-headlines style.
And the images were usually those of fear. They were menacing. You know, a woman in distress, usually. I mean, that's the most menacing image. Some woman who is about to be violated by some political foe. And those things combined with certain color combinations, like red and yellow, gave one this sense of fear. And I think fear really did enter into the visual terminology of the day.
Anti-communism was part of the fabric of society, says co-author Michael Barson.
We use a lot of the big weekly magazines that had circulations in the millions here. Those are not exactly esoteric kinds of fringe publications, but that was part of culture, and every week there were articles like, could the Red seize Detroit? You know, it's hard for people to realize now how mainstream all of that was for a long, long time.
Barson accumulated most of the documents and posters that are included in Red Scared while building a collection of American film memorabilia. By the late 1940s, the Cold War was also being fought on celluloid. One of the most famous early examples was I Married a Communist, with Robert Ryan as a shipping executive trying to hide his party past.
You used the party as long as it served your purpose and then deserted. You came to the West Coast and under the name of Bradley Collins, you have done better for yourself.
Look, Mr. Banny, it's dangerous to call a man a communist unless you can prove it.
Christine Norman can prove it. She has a remarkable memory for faces. She also saves photographs, as women in love sometimes do.
This pop imagery was unknown behind the Iron Curtain. American cartoons in Michael Barson's collection ridiculed Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev as a bald King Kong with a shoe in his hand. David Gurevich, who wrote about Soviet pop culture in his memoir, From Lenin to Lenin, says Russians never saw that side of their leader.
What is Khrushchev most famous in the West for? For creative use of his shoes, right? I didn't know about this episode until it came to the West. This whole episode was perfectly covered from the Soviet people. But as for collectors of this stuff, I don't know. I think everything is being, and I think in Russia everything is being collected, because early on in 1989 they realized that in the West they'll buy anything.
That theory is still unproven when it comes to American anti-communist memorabilia, and there are certainly no hidden aesthetic treasures here, says Red Scared co-author Stephen Heller.
Designers of the paperback covers or the pulp magazine covers who are creating these wonderful pieces of art that vividly portray women being oppressed by Soviet soldiers, they were doing their jobs. I mean, and by today's standards, that was socialist realism, and by today's standards, socialist realism was bad art.
Yet the fascination people have with the style or unintentional humor of pop anti-communism worries Arch Puddington, a vice president of the human rights organization Freedom House. He says he's an anti-communist who can still laugh at what he calls the buffoonery of the McCarthy era. Puddington's concerned that young people won't get beyond smirking at anti-communist kitsch.
The danger is that you're going to find Americans, younger Americans, who simply don't understand what the Cold War was about. That's what bothers me. People absolutely don't understand that this was a totalitarian idea that was especially insidious because, unlike Nazism, it did appeal to a lot of people around the world.
So far, Cold War memorabilia has less commercial value than comparable Nazi material. Collector Michael Barson says he feels he's just saving this ephemera from disappearing.
It depends what you call value. There are some movie posters shown in here that are now worth, you know, a couple $100s. I mean, it's not value in any serious sense, but it really did take 12 years and more from my end of it to find this. And I found some after the book was done, and I still acquired it because I didn't feel I could leave it out there.
A market for images of the commie menace could be taking shape. The Truman Museum in Independence, Missouri, which opens this summer, has contacted Barson about buying some of his objects for its Cold War era displays. So has the International Spy Museum, set to open in Washington, D.C. next fall. And the son of downed U-2 spy plane pilot Francis Gary Powers is currently touring objects from his collection of Cold War era memorabilia. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.